Hello and welcome to the situation update for Saturday, November 28th, 2020. This is Mike Adams here, naturalnews.com, and we have an incredible compilation for you today, perhaps more insights than in any previous day that I've been posting these situation updates. So I've got a lot to cover here. Let me give you a table of contents for the first time so that you kind of know what we're about to get into here. I'm going to give you some of the breaking news items from the last 36 hours or so that are highly relevant to everything that is happening and also fit the pattern of what I've been covering in previous days. For example, a top Iranian nuclear scientist was killed in his car. And that has huge implications of what is happening globally. I'm also going to cover a very important analysis that stems from what people in America call Sun Tzu, art of war, but it's actually in Chinese, it's pronounced Sun Tzu. And the book is called Sun Tzu Bingfa, which is basically the war doctrine of Sun Tzu, who's the author. And there are some really important revelations now coming out about the things that Trump is doing that shockingly align very well with the Sun Tzu war doctrine. And these are my own observations, not from anybody else, although I've heard people mention, you know, the art of war as compared to Trump's art of the deal. But I believe that Trump is operating under a very advanced and complex war doctrine that has as its ultimate goal defeating the enemy without ever fighting a bloody battle. And I will explain why that is and give you specific examples in today's situation update. I'm also going to cover the emergency constitution. And you may not have heard that term before, but there is an emergency constitution that is prepared in case of national security emergencies. And there are contingent elections. And the contingent election document for the United States was updated on October 6th of this year in anticipation of the possibility of a contingent election. And in case you're not familiar with that term, contingent election is when the Electoral College votes are no longer used because neither candidate has a majority or reached 270. Depends on your interpretation of the Constitution. But there are many scenarios in which this is kicked back to Congress for a state-by-state vote. So we will, although many of you listening have already heard this, I'm not going to go into great detail on that, but we'll cover the emergency constitution and what it means. I'm also going to cover the national security context that was invoked by Trump yesterday as he declared that the Section 230 protections of big tech are, in fact, harming national security. So he made that statement, and he has also flipped the script on Biden and is now saying that Biden will not be allowed to claim the White House unless Biden can prove that his so-called 80 million votes were not fraudulent or illegal. And this is very important, what Trump is doing here. It's a frankly, a brilliant strategic move. And I'm going to discuss why he did that and what that is triggering inside the Department of Defense, and also why, well, you'll see, it's pure genius what Trump is doing here, and he's got Democrats wasting all their time and resources in the wrong place, which is classic Sun Tzu war doctrine, by the way. Then I'm also going to go, I know this is going to be a bit of a longer update today, I'm going to go into why the circle is now complete with the Kraken, which is a cyber warfare technology created by the Department of Defense with the DIA. The information that has been gleaned from the servers, both from the server raids as well as the Kraken and its ability to go out and basically compromise other servers and get information and bring it back to the DOD, that information is now being organized and handed to military intelligence witnesses who are going to testify in Sidney Powell's court cases in Georgia and Michigan, for starters. So if you've been wondering, why does Sidney Powell have all this confidence in what she is about to say or what she's claiming? Why does she believe that she can prove all of these things in court? The answer is military intelligence analysts who have been handed information from the Kraken. Okay, this is why Sidney Powell tweeted out that we're already starting to see some early results from the Kraken. She was referring to this program. We now know. And I'm going to give you the name of one of the military intelligence analysts who is, in fact, already under oath and offering statements that will be presented in these court cases and explain to you why he, by himself, is one formidable witness and why, well, let's put it this way, unless the Supreme Court throws out all the rules of logic and reason, they will have to rule in favor of Trump's attorneys in throwing out hundreds of thousands of votes in the swing states. If they don't, then they are basically claiming that the laws of mathematics no longer function in our universe, which would obviously show that they're not being intellectually honest. Nevertheless, I'm also going to discuss today why even a victory at the Supreme Court is not necessary for Trump to maintain a second term. So that's kind of an overview of what we're about to get into here. And I thank you for listening. I thank you for your support. And I do want to mention, since this is the Black Friday weekend, if you want to support what I'm doing here, and I'm working overtime, obviously. I'm doing research and recording and articles and interviews every day to bring you the best analysis that I could possibly pull together. And if you want to support what I'm doing and support our platforms, our free speech platforms such as Brighteon and so on, we are having our Black Friday specials this weekend at healthrangerstore.com. So go there, check out the specials. They're really extraordinary. We have a lot of inventory because we built a bigger building, much bigger, this year, and we stocked it with all kinds of amazing superfoods, nutrition products, home care, health care, all non-GMO, all lab tested. I run the lab myself. I mean, I don't do everything myself. I have technicians, of course, who work for me, but I founded the lab, and we provide really honest, high integrity, clean foods and superfoods and supplements at very great prices, especially considering how much lab testing we put into this. So check it out at healthrangerstore.com, and you'll be helping us to support all of this work. Now, with that said, let's get right into it. And if I were to summarize what we're looking at here, I would say that the momentum is turning and the Democrats are quietly beginning to panic. And it's almost like in a war, if, let's say, you have two forces. You have a blue force and a red force, and that's used in military simulations. And the blue force attacks the red force, which is guarding some installation, let's say. And the blue force is wildly succeeding in this attack, and they are advancing and advancing and just taking ground, holding new ground, clearing buildings, and just eliminating red forces all over the place. And they achieve amazing progress in record time. And by the time they're in about a mile, let's say, then suddenly a thought hits them. The thought is, oh, this was too easy. Something's not right with this picture. Something is about to happen. This was too easy. That's because they've been led into, of course, a trap. And the red forces are maneuvering behind the blue forces, actually, to surround them, to cut them off from supply lines, and to attack them from all sides. The whole thing was a trap. Psychological operations make them think they're winning. That's what we're seeing right now. The Democrats pulled off the largest scale election fraud in the history of elections, at least in the United States, maybe all over the world, who knows. This election fraud was carried out, it was allowed to be carried out with great ease. It was allowed to happen because the red forces wanted the Democrats to think that they had pulled it off, to think that they were winning, to think that there would be no resistance. What they actually do is they went in too deep. And now it's beginning to turn against them. And in today's situation update, I'm going to give you all those details about what's turning against them and why they're starting to panic, because they are deep into our territory now. And in this case, the territory happens to be the national security context of this warfare. And also there is, by the way, a reverse psychological operations component to this that Trump is playing out against the Democrats that I will discuss. So the Democrats have advanced far too deep into territory that they do not control. And they have failed to adequately identify the strengths of their opposition, which is Trump. And they have vastly underestimated the response that is now being mounted against them. And you lose in war when you fail to accurately account for the strengths of your enemy. This is also another principle of Sun Tzu. You must know your enemy just as you must know yourself. And the Democrats really failed to know themselves. They thought that America was going to swallow their radical leftism. You know, the socialism, the Marxism, the communism. They thought America was going to agree that it's awesome to burn down your own cities and defund the police at the same time. And it turns out they were wrong. They were grossly wrong. America, in huge numbers, voted against them. America rejected all the tenets of radical left-wing socialism. And yet the Democrats did not realize this until after the election, an election that they are continuing to lose by the day as more congressional seats turn red, by the way. The last time I took a look at the numbers, there were roughly 27 strongly contested seats in the House, and it looks like the GOP won all 27 of those races, every single one. How did that happen? It's because the Democrats don't know themselves. They don't know who they are, and they sure don't know their opposition. They absolutely underestimate Trump. Now, they may not underestimate the average GOP person who, let's face it, is a pathetic jellyfish who couldn't stand up, you know, to a wiffle ball bat. But they vastly underestimate Trump. And I'll get into more reasons of why that is. Gosh, I'm still at the introduction here, by the way. So that's just the title of this update. The momentum is turning. The Democrats are beginning to panic. They've gone too far, too easily, and now they're realizing something's wrong. They're realizing, oh my gosh, Trump has not conceded. They've expended everything. They've expended all their players, all their covert operatives who have come out and said Trump must concede. They've all been spent now. They've pushed everything in terms of censorship from big tech and every narrative in the mainstream media. They've pushed everything they can think of. They've called Sidney Powell mentally ill. They've said Trump is trying to carry out a coup. They've attacked Giuliani and, you know, every attorney. They put out rape threats against what's her name? Jenna, one of Trump's attorneys. Is it Ellis? You know, she's a powerhouse of great information, obviously a very strong intellect, and they're threatening her and her family members as well. But they vastly underestimate Trump's response. And that is what Trump has actually put in place long before this election ever happened. So one of the key elements to keep in mind as we go through this situation update today is that Trump is not reacting to the Democrats. Trump is not responding in the present moment. That's why he's out playing golf, by the way. Trump won this battle before the election ever began. And in fact, the Democrats are playing directly into Trump's strategies. The Democrats are reacting to Trump, not the other way around. The Democrats thought they won it. Now they're freaking out, realizing they've been caught. And now they're trying to react day by day, whereas Trump is playing out a grand master strategy that has the Democrats right where he wants them. Because you see, from Trump's point of view, it's not enough to just win this election. Trump needs to expose and destroy the entire Democrat apparatus, to put the DNC and the Democrat crime syndicate, to put it down or put those people behind bars. And that is why Trump is fighting a very different battle than what the Democrats think they're fighting. The Democrats think they're fighting for this election. Trump is actually fighting for the future of our constitutional republic, the entire future of this country. And his victory is the defeat of the entire rigged, corrupt, fraudulent system. And that's why Democrats still don't understand this, because Democrats always project onto Trump the things that they are trying to do themselves. And so they think that Trump is just desperate to gain power for this term, because that's what they would do. That's what Democrats would do. They just want power at any cost right now. They're not playing the long game. The long game that Trump is playing is, let's give this republic back to the people. Let's, if you could say, re-enfranchise people instead of disenfranchise people. Let's, I don't know if I'm using the word correctly. Let's enfranchise people and give them their representation, give them their vote back. And the only way to do that is to expose the entire corrupt system so that the people call for massive voter reform and nationwide voter ID and so on. So that's what this battle is really all about. Okay, with that context in mind, here are some of the important news items that are relevant to all of this. There's buzz out there of people like Tulsi Gabbard, I believe, saying that it's time to pardon Snowden and Assange because of the roles that both of those individuals have played in exposing the deep state. And I completely agree with this. And I would also urge President Trump to pardon Snowden and Assange. The resistance to that is inside the DOD, because Assange, through WikiLeaks, as you know, released documents and even helicopter videos and so on many years ago that greatly embarrassed the military. But of course, they deserve to be embarrassed for what they did, you know, shooting up journalists from a helicopter and shooting up the rescue van of people that were coming to, you know, to try to save the journalists after they had been shot and so on. You know, WikiLeaks dumped a bunch of stuff that really embarrassed the Pentagon. So if Trump pardons Assange, then he may lose some goodwill from the Pentagon. And so only he knows the information to make that decision. Perhaps Trump is happy to pardon Assange after his second term is secured. I would guess that's the case. And, you know, Assange has been tortured. Assange has been deprived of his life and, of course, liberty and happiness as well. And what they've done to Assange is beyond cruel. It is inhumane. But if he could hold out, you know, 90 more days, he may be up for a pardon. And of course, I'm going to continue to urge that for Assange and also for Ed Snowden as well. Next item, I'd like to remind you that the executive order that Trump signed on September 12, 2018, that referred to the foreign interference in the critical elections infrastructure of the United States, that EO requires certain people within the government to produce a report within 45 days. A report about whether the election was compromised. Now, 45 days, as best I can tell, if I could still count, pushes that report past December 14th. So don't expect this report before the December 14th so-called deadline, which I'll talk about as well. It's not really a deadline. There's something important that happens on December 14th, aside from the states submitting their electoral votes to Congress. But just remember that there is an investigation underway by the government and there will be a report produced, and it's not going to be from the Krebs guy at CISA who said, no, this was the most secure election ever in the history of elections. No, that guy's already gone and he was lying. And that statement, by the way, was made because the Dominion Voting Systems Company sat on the council of CISA and actually ghost authored that report. So the very company whose systems are compromised and allowing foreign actors to engage in cyber warfare against the United States. That company helped author the statement that claims the election was not compromised. Just incredible. Next item, we also have out of Pennsylvania, a poll inspector named Olivia Jane Winters, who is a Democrat, and she is sounding the alarm over vote fraud in Philadelphia. And what she saw firsthand is shocking, and so we're starting to see more and more Democrats come out and say, hey, this thing was not fair. She was not allowed to look at what was happening with the ballots. And other witnesses are saying, yes, they brought in, you know, van loads of ballots that were all for Biden, and all the circles were filled in perfectly, and none of these looked like they had ever been mailed. They were perfectly, you know, flat. They weren't creased or wrinkled or folded or anything. Just amazing. No one spilled coffee on any of them, and they were all for Biden. Of course, it was a massive fraud machine that was running in the Democrat districts there, but some Democrats are speaking out against it, and I expect that number to increase. The Pennsylvania, well, the federal appeals court handling Team Trump's lawsuit in Pennsylvania has tossed that lawsuit, which puts it on track to the Supreme Court. But in tossing that lawsuit, I think it was a 3-judge panel wrote that, quote, ballots, not briefs, decide elections, which is an insult to the intelligence of all of us. Of course, ballots decide elections, but which ballots are valid? So according to that argument by that district court, if ballots alone decide elections, then I guess the election is won by whoever has the most printing machines. I mean, if that's going to be your criteria, oh, well, here's a bunch of ballots. Let's roll up a dump truck full of more ballots then. But obviously that can't be. It has to be legal ballots, which is what Team Trump is fighting for. So these court judges, when they say incredibly stupid things like this, what they're saying is that they don't care how much fraud happened as long as the party had more ballots. That's it. It's just, I guess you just stack up the paper and whoever has the tallest stack wins. Well, that's fine. I know where to find paper factories. If this is the way we're going to run elections, we can print lots of ballots. I mean, if those are the rules, but clearly those aren't the rules. So what these judges are saying is nonsense, and I believe SCOTUS will see right through that. In fact, what I find interesting about this is that this district court decision was handed down very quickly. And I think two of the judges there were appointed by Bush, if I'm not mistaken. And I'm wondering if they wrote this, you know, crazy, insane opinion almost as a joke, just to kick it to the Supreme Court as quickly as possible, because they knew that that's where it needs to go anyway. So maybe they were secretly helping Trump by doing this. No one buys the argument that these judges wrote, not even other judges, frankly, you know, unless they're Democrat appointed judges. So I think there are going to be many cases where things happen over the next few weeks where people in positions of power can't come out and say they would love Trump to win, they would love the election to be honest and so on, but they can do things like this. They can dismiss a case quickly, so that it goes up to the Supreme Court, and that helps Trump. Oh, and I should remind you, I did mention this yesterday, but it's worth reminding. Every conservative justice on the Supreme Court today, every one of them has endured some level of brutal attacks, smearing, and defamation by Democrats. You know, starting with Thomas. You know, Thomas was just vilified by Democrats many years ago. They tried to keep him off the court by coming up with, allegations of, sexual impropriety and so on. The same game plan they ran against Kavanaugh and to some extent Gorsuch. And then, of course, Alito has had his share of criticism, not as harsh as Thomas, but Barrett was even subjected to quite a lot. They attacked her religion. They attacked her for her religious beliefs. And so every one of these conservative justices has has a personal reason to, what's the best way to say this? Well, to stick it to the Dems. Yeah. That's not beating around the bush. Yes, they're going to rule on the law, but you can also rule on the law and give the Democrats the finger at the same time. When the Democrats, when you know, let's say if your name is Clarence Thomas or let's say Kavanaugh, those are probably the two best examples of extremely harsh attacks that are based entirely on fiction. The Democrats tried to destroy you. They tried to ruin your life. They tried to embarrass you on a national scale. They embarrassed your family members. They dragged you through the mud. Do you think that Thomas is ever going to forget what they did to him? No, he's not. And didn't he call it, back when it happened to him, didn't he call it a modern day lynching or an electronic lynching? Something like that. It was a lynching. I remember him saying that. And he's right. It was some form of lynching of his character by the Democrats. Well, believe me, he has not forgotten that. And if it comes down to a moment of history where he can make a decision to either hand this country over to the Democrat criminals and fraudsters and smear artists who tried to destroy him with false, salacious allegations, you can bet that no matter what his adherence is to the Constitution, Clarence Thomas is going to remember that these are the people who tried to destroy him. And so is Kavanaugh. Kavanaugh's going to remember that too. And this is a huge, huge factor. So to people who say, well, they don't trust the Supreme Court to make the right decision. And I guess to some extent, I don't have full faith in them making the right decision either. But I tell you what, every one of the five justices that we need has a personal reason to deny handing power to these insane, power-hungry, destructive Democrats. And I believe that will be a factor in their decision that's coming. No question in my mind. All right, some other items here. Sidney Powell appeared on the Howie Carr show. Howie Carr has been putting out some really good interviews on this. And she says, quote, "We've got pictures of the check stubs paid to people to ballot harvest," which is illegal in all these swing states, by the way. So she's got hardcore evidence that, you know, ballot harvesting, vote fraud was going on and people were paid to do it. And she's going to present that. And when she was asked how many fraudulent votes were placed for Biden all across the country with fake ballots, dead people voting, you know, the machines being rigged and so on, she said probably at least 10 million fraudulent votes. And several million of those, she said, are dead people voting. 10 million votes. I tell you, here's my estimation of where we are. I think Joe Biden got far fewer than 70 million votes, and I think Trump got far more than 80 million. In fact, I think Trump got the most votes in history of any president ever, or any candidate for president ever. And I wouldn't be surprised if Joe Biden only got 50 million votes or less, because who actually voted for Biden, you know, aside from the CIA? And dead people and people whose ballots were harvested from their insane asylums and nursing homes and so on. I mean, who living, you know, who is on the streets, conscious, aware, walking around with a job, actually voted for Joe Biden? Not that many. Very few. You take away the zombie vote and the illegal vote and the dementia vote and all that, and Joe Biden hardly got any votes. So let's hope history corrects this soon, which looks like it's going that direction. All right, the Pennsylvania State Legislature has filed a resolution to dispute the election results. Boom! It's another bombshell right there. It's showing that, at least in Pennsylvania, there's one state legislature that is waking up from their little GOP slumber, their little corporate campaign donation sleepy time rest, waking up and saying, oh, hey, wait a minute, maybe we should fight for, you know, whatever's left of our republic here. Yeah. So that's what's happening in Pennsylvania. And then, as I mentioned today, a top Iranian nuclear scientist has been taken out, and Iran, oh, and by the way, this has really set back Iran's nuclear weapons program. Woo, big time. And Iran blames Israel and the United States, which is probably correct. Yep, that's probably who did it. But what you got to understand about this is, remember that Barack Obama funneled billions of dollars into Iran and also allowed weapons-grade plutonium to be brought into Iran from Russia, where it was processed there. And some of that plutonium originated in the United States through the Uranium One scandal involving Robert Mueller and Hillary Clinton and other key deep state players. So when Obama was president and he flew all that cash into Iran, and he also unleashed Iran's money that had been locked up with international sanctions, Obama himself committed acts of illegal global money laundering. He violated international money laundering laws in order to get all this money to Iran, because Iran was building, well, and has been ever since, building nuclear weapons against Israel. Iran, the minute they have nuclear weapons that are capable of destroying Israel, they will launch them. And you may recall, it was just a few months ago that secret nuclear facility buildings in different locations in Iran were just magically blowing up. And it turns out that was Israel. Israel was hard at work infiltrating, identifying, and then sabotaging Iran's nuclear program. Because, of course, Iran is going to nuke Israel the first chance they get. So, you know, these are preemptive self-defense maneuvers by Israel, right? Well, guess what happened several years earlier to disrupt Iran's nuclear weapons program? It was a cyber warfare weapon called Stuxnet. And Stuxnet was a very special, very advanced Trojan horse type of malware program. And Stuxnet was built by, in fact, a partnership between the United States military, the cyber warfare elements of the Pentagon, and Israel. And Stuxnet was highly successful, and it was built to invade Windows computers, including Windows laptops, all over the world, which it did. It infected millions of Windows systems, probably yours and mine, by the way. But its payload was delivered only to laptops running Windows that were connected to Iran's centrifuge control systems, these hardware control systems that run the centrifuges, that have a very specific programming language and, you know, very specific ports that are open that, you know, your laptop can talk to over TCP/IP on the local network. So the reason I'm saying this is because you got to understand, America and Israel built malware and released it on the entire world just so that a payload might get onto a laptop that attached to Iran's centrifuge hardware control systems, where they did their job of screwing up the, I think it was the spin speed, the actual, you know, RPMs of the centrifuges. It screwed up that spin speed for several months, but it went undetected, causing Iran to waste maybe 6 months or a year of what was to become weapons grade uranium. It was all wasted. It was all tainted, you could say, because the centrifuges weren't spinning at the right RPMs. So you weren't getting the separation of the density of the molecules that you need in order to have, you know, refined uranium for nuclear weapons. So that was a very successful cyber attack. And I don't recall the year that took place, but it seems to me it was about 20 years ago, roughly in that range. I don't have it in front of me, but it's been a while, okay? Now, the reason this is relevant to what's happening right now is because, number one, this shows the effectiveness of the military intelligence cyber warfare divisions, which is tends to be centered in the DIA, but can also involve the United States Air Force as well. They have a cyber command unit, some special units in other sectors of the military, and there's also Space Command or Space Force, as is known right now as well, which deals with satellite communications and encryption systems as well, GPS and so on. But even 20 years ago, or whenever it was, the U.S. was able to build a very, very effective and very complex cyber weapon and release it onto the world so that it could hit its intended target, which was Iran's nuclear weapons program. This is parallel to what China did with COVID-19. China built a biological weapon with the help of information from the United States and funding through Dr. Fauci and Obama's NIH, the National Institutes of Health, funneled money into the Wuhan Virology Institute to build a weapon. They released it first on their own people so they could claim that it was an accident. But the real goal was for this to spread around the globe in order for the left-wing media in the United States to demand lockdowns and then to justify legislators pushing for mail-in ballots so that the mail-in ballots could be, of course, created in large numbers of fraudulent ballots in order to steal the election. And the target then was Trump. So just as Stuxnet was released onto the entire world to infect millions of laptop computers just to stop or just to alter the centrifuge speeds of a very tiny number of centrifuge systems in Iran, the COVID-19 virus was engineered and released upon the world and allowed to kill, what, hundreds of thousands of people perhaps? Depends on what numbers you believe, just in order to target one person, and his name is Donald Trump, to target him with election fraud in order to remove him from power. Why? Because Trump is China's mortal enemy. Because Trump has really taken it to China. Trump has not surrendered to China. Trump is going to defeat China if he has a second term. And China is on the edge of an economic implosion that very few people really know about, but it will come if Trump wins a second term and continues to apply the pressure. And there are so many things going on behind the scenes that Trump is doing, such as he's shifting our dependence on rare earth elements, or what are called rare earths, for example, away from China. And it's been very successful, Trump's program to do this. Just over the last 4 years, we have moved our dependence out of China and into many other countries, and to some extent, even domestically in the continental United States, so that we depend more on ourselves for these strategic rare earth elements. So Trump was the target, and the lockdowns were necessary for this weapon to be effective. And the mechanism of the weapon was the mail-in ballot vote fraud in order to steal the election and install who? Joe Biden, whose family is on the payroll of communist China, the same country that built the COVID-19 bioweapon. So, I know it's a lot to absorb, but the reason I mention all of this is because it's critical to understand the global warfare, how it happens. When nations want to take down other nations, they will very often build and release exotic weapons. Cyber weapons, which are self-replicating digital weapons, or biological self-replicating weapons, which are viruses, in order to ultimately compromise a very small target, you know, or very small number of targets. They don't mind killing millions of people to get this done. Or in the case of Stuxnet, they didn't mind infecting millions of Windows computers and laptops all over the world in order to achieve their desired goal. So please understand that when you endure things like nationwide food shortages or lockdowns or vaccine mandates or supply line disruptions, what you're actually experiencing is not organic. These are the results of key players, nations around the world, waging warfare against each other, and you and I are caught in the crossfire. The lockdowns that are pushed by governors like Newsom and Cuomo and so on, that are resulting in shutdowns of farms in California or meat processing plants and so on, causing food disruptions. Their goal is not to cut off the food supply. That's just a side effect of their goal, which is to destroy Trump. And it's important to understand that Democrats don't care how much damage they have to do to the United States of America in order to take out Trump. There is no amount of damage that is too much. They are all in. They would nuke this country if it got rid of Trump. If they thought that would work, they would do it. It would be suicide, but they have so much hatred for Trump, they don't care. They will commit suicide for all of us. They will kill us all to get rid of Trump. So understand what's at stake here as we continue with this analysis. Okay, now that was just the Iranian nuclear scientist being killed, which really does set back their nuclear program. And that's important geopolitically because it gives Trump and Israel more time to maneuver, to work to defeat Iran with economic sanctions and covert warfare, rather than allowing nuclear weapons to be deployed in the Middle East, which would be, of course, wildly destabilizing to the entire world, and it would put Trump on a war footing. Oh yeah, and speaking of war footing, I forgot to mention this, that Trump did actually sign an extension of the state of war in Afghanistan. There's a one-year extension that was signed sometime this year. I don't recall the exact date, but it does mean that the United States recognizes it is in a state of war in Afghanistan, that there is active warfare underway. And the fact that this war is taking place internationally, believe it or not, it has some spillover effects to the centralization of wartime powers to the chief executive, which is Trump. And when you look at the fact that this election was stolen using servers with IP addresses traced back to places like Serbia, Germany, Spain, and probably many other countries that we don't know about yet, perhaps Venezuela, we'll see. It means that Trump's wartime powers have been in effect this entire time. You see, the theater of war under which this election took place is the theater of war of national defense and global warfare, where the Democrats have made the mistake of thinking the theater of war is domestic elections and ballots and media propaganda. So they're actually, the Democrats are fighting in the wrong theater. They think they're winning, and they may be winning in their theater. They've got control of the media. They obviously printed far more ballots than Trump could come up with. I mean, ballot printing machines are pretty cheap to get running. But the Democrats failed to see that the context of this war is actually a global context of national defense and global cyber warfare. And in that context, Trump has, as the president of the United States, absolute power to deploy resources of the United States in the interests of the national defense of the country. Now, keep all that in mind as we now continue to the second chapter here. What? Oh gosh, we're 45 minutes into this already, and I've only finished part one. Like I said, this one's going to be a little bit longer than usual. Survival Nutrition is our new free audiobook that you can download right now from survivalnutrition.com. In this nearly 8-hour audiobook, you will learn life-saving secrets of how to use food, nutrients, plant molecules, trace minerals, and chemical compounds to save your life, even in a total collapse scenario. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, and I'm the author of Survival Nutrition. I founded and run a multi-million dollar food science laboratory, and I'm the author of the best-selling science book, Food Forensics. I'm also a prepper, a patriot, and a survivalist. I can teach you how to survive what's coming by growing your own food, medicine, and antibiotics that can help keep you healthy and alive, even during the worst of times. At survivalnutrition.com, you'll be able to instantly download the full free audiobook as MP3 files. Keep a copy of all these files on your local hard drive and print out the full guide, just in case we lose the power grid. Survivalnutrition.com.